And maybe it has lasted a bit longer in India and Pakistan. That's all it is. That you can, only thing you can fairly say is these particular rulings of Islam have managed to somehow last longer in India and Pakistan. And the proof of that is just go back 200 years. And if it was there 200 years, then say that was their culture also. And say it with your words, that the Egyptian and Syrian women have liberated themselves from the culture that was the time of Imam al-Ghazali. That those women who used to do jilbab, who used to wear niqab, it was all cultural. Send me that in an email if you're there. So don't think that this is some cultural thing. Yes, that's another thing, that everybody takes time to change gradually. Everybody changes gradually. Nobody, I'm not trying to hear and give some fire and brimstone bayan and tell the women that they have to go home and start wearing niqab immediately. I understand everybody changes gradually. I'm not even trying to change your amal tonight. I'm trying to change your aqidah. I'm trying to preserve your iman. That when you don't do something, that's one thing. Allah Ta'ala give you the tawfiq, the strength. There are many things I don't do on the deen. Allah Ta'ala give all of us the strength to become better and do more amal on what we know. But to sit there and have the incorrect belief, to say it's not part of the deen, to say it's part of Indian culture, that's something that's very dangerous. That's what I'm asking you to change tonight. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. Allah ta'ala commands the believing women that they should not show, they should not reveal زِينَتَهُنَّ their zina, except that which is already made apparent. Now again, I'm not going to try to argue with what the limit of this ayah might be, but let me just say some things that everybody would agree that that's zina. Zina means beauty and adornment. So can anybody tell me, is there some way we can remove makeup from this? Is there some way that a woman can wear makeup and think she's still following this ayah? Ayah of the Quran, it's not culture, right? وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ do not reveal their zina. It means they shouldn't even be revealing their natural beauty, let alone putting artificial beauty upon themselves. So that means there's absolutely no provision for a woman to wear makeup in front of non-mahram men, right? And then, if a woman was to be honest, zina would also include wearing tight-fitted clothing. You know, my wife told me this story, that we also came back after a number of years in Pakistan, and she said that she met a girl here in Chicago who she had known about 6-7 years ago before we left for Pakistan to study. And she said that that girl, mashallah, when she knew her before, she used to study in the university, she used to study in MFA, she used to be a girl who wore jilbab. When my wife saw her now in Chicago, she said that she was wearing tight jeans, and she was wearing a tight top, and she had a tight hijab on. Now you tell me, if a girl wears tight jeans and wears a tight top, how is she following this ayah? At the very least, even if you can't follow it immediately, at the very least you should be aware. And that is the first step of tawbah, is to admit our sins. Even in English, there's this famous saying, knowing is half the battle, right? And that's actually where shaitan is the first half of the battle. So shaitan has defeated us in that he's taken away our ilm of what is haya. He's taken our ilm of these Quranic ayat, Quran and Kareem, Azim wa Shan, he's blinded our eyes and blinded our hearts to these verses. So Allah said in Quran very clearly, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا, that they should not reveal any of their adornments except those that have to be revealed or those that are naturally open. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and again, although this may technically have been revealed about the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, like all the other ayahs, the Mufassirin say, the ayahs apply to everyone at all times. And it's also a matter of reflection. If this was the ruling for the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, then what would the ruling be for an average Muslim woman today? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا تَغْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ, that you should not make your speech sweet and pleasant and soft. So when you do speak, number one we heard from before, speak from behind the hijab. Now we're hearing, even when you speak from behind the hijab, because Al-Quran, يُفَصَّلُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا, that the Quran comments upon it. You have to take all of the Quranic verses on any one issue. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them that when you speak, do not speak to one another softly, do not speak to the man softly or gently. Why? Because perhaps, فَيَطْمَأَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضًا, that perhaps that person whose heart has some sickness, has the sickness of lust or desire, he might desire you, he might covet you. Now who is Ummahat al-Mu'mineen speaking to? They were speaking to the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that don't speak to the Sahaba in a soft or kind or a gentle voice, because maybe there might be somebody who might have this problem or their hearts might incline towards you. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. And so then you should speak to them in a knowing way. So let's add all of these ayat together. Simply Quran. Taking the verses at their face value. Simply Quran, it means that number one, when you go out, if you have to go out, don't reveal anything of your zina, don't reveal any of your natural beauty, let alone adorn yourself with artificial beauty. Number two, that if you have to speak with your male Muslims, you should speak to them only about necessity when they need to ask you something, they need to know something from you. Number three, when you speak to them, wara'i hijab, you should speak to them behind the partition, behind the veil, behind the curtain. And number four, even after doing all that, when you speak to them, you should make your voice a bit stern or not soften up your voice so much to them. Know that the woman's true hijab actually is not what she wears. The true hijab is the hijab of her heart, the hijab of her personality. And this is the thing that our young sisters don't do. They reveal their personalities over IM, over email, on the cell phones of these brothers. They give up that which is most sacred to them. They give up their own personality. So you should know that it is not permitted in the Sharia to reveal your personality except to your mahram men or your teachers, your mashayikh, your asatizah as needed, that they need to get to know you to make your islah. But other than that, you're not supposed to simply just give up and show everything or reveal the innermost worries and things of your personality to your non-mahram men. I should touch on something else here then, since we're on this topic. Platonic friendships. That, well, why can't men and women, Muslim men and women, just be friends? In fact, you'll find many Muslim men and women, especially of the MSA crowd, they will argue to you that, well, we help one another. You know, well, that sister, you know, she taught me so much about the deen, she helped me so much, right? She taught me so much about the deen, she helped me, she guided me. So if I wasn't allowed to talk to her, then I wouldn't have been able to benefit from her. Or conversely, some girl might say that you know, well, that brother, he's the one who made me accept the deen. So yes, there is some scope for dawah in the deen, but know that as long as there are women who can do dawah amongst women, there's no real need for men to go and do that dawah. And as long as there are men who can do dawah amongst men, there's no reason for women to do that dawah. If the woman feels that, oh, there's some man who's coming to the MSA, it seems like he's interested in Islam, she should make dua for him. And she should advise her Muslim brothers in the MSA that they should take up this task, and they should invite that person towards the deen. And similarly with the men and women. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes they do result in good things. I mean, we've seen people, I know people in Chicago, I mean, they used to give dawah to American girls and then converting them and then marrying them and then having kids and live happily ever after. So it seems like there's nothing really wrong with it. So Allah Ta'ala did save them and Allah Ta'ala did give a good outcome. But that person, when he first talked to that girl, he didn't know that he's going to end up marrying her. He didn't know everything was going to turn out to be okay. He didn't know that she was going to accept Islam. It would have been better at that moment that he would have, should have asked one of the girls in the MSA, that she should have talked to that sister, that non-Muslim sister. She should have taken the effort or taken the lead in making dawah. So this was a few things on hijab. And getting back to some now on controlling the desire, finally we will end here with what our mashayikh have said. So we mentioned some cures for controlling the gaze from Quran, we mentioned some cures from controlling the gaze from Hadith, and now we will mention some cures for controlling the gaze from our mashayikh. The first thing that they say is that you should change, you should refocus your thoughts, you should think of something else immediately. In other words, when your heart or your mind starts to have this unlawful desire, force yourself to think of something different. Immediately change your mind. Just totally do inhiraf, totally change your thought from one thing to the other. Try to think about something, anything that you want. In fact, you should have these things ready beforehand. That if this type of desire comes to me, I'm going to think about this, or I'm going to think about that. Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, said that what you should do is you should address yourself. And you should say that, oh my nafs, or oh shaitan, why do you tell me to look at this thing? If I look at her and she's ugly, I'll sin without any pleasure. And if I look at her and she's pretty, then I will have a desire in my heart for that which I can't attain. Shaykh Ashraf Ali Khan Rahimullah said that when you have the desire in you to go look at something you shouldn't, then instead you should immediately think of some ugly person, some bald, blind, diseased, sickened person, and just imagine them in your mind, and then immediately your desire will go away. One Shaykh said that if you wish to look at a woman, then instead of looking, you should imagine her as a corpse, that she's rotted, that she's decayed. Another Shaykh said that think of her how she might look in old age, and she's wrinkled, she has no teeth, her hair is falling out. Another person said, another Shaykh said that think that one of your elders, your father, your elder brother, your Shaykh, your Ustad, is looking at you at that moment. And think that if that person is looking at me at that moment, then I would be ashamed then to misdirect my gaze, and then address yourself that, oh my nafs, are you so distant from Allah that if you imagine that your Shaykh is looking at you, you will lower your gaze and you don't care that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at you at all times? Is this the type of mushrik that you have become? That you care more about what creation says, you don't care at all about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks? So address yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at you. The second thing that the Mashayikh said, that you should punish your nafs. You should set a punishment for yourself that every time I fall into this sin, I'm going to do this. Shaykh Ashraf Ali Khan said that you should say that I'll pray 20 nafl. And actually do it also. That you should pray 20 nafl every time you fall into the sin, whether you're a man or a woman, you misdirect your gaze, you eye him that MSA brother a bit longer than you should, you enjoyed it when he calls you more than you should, right? So you should punish yourself in some way, for example, praying 20 rakat nafl. Some sheikh said that you should fast 3 days. And I should mention this about fasting also. In this specific thing, when is the fasting of Ramadan that starts? But when you fast for this niyyah, that you're fasting in order to punish your nafs, then when you fast, you can't just fast during the day, but you have to do something special at night, is you have to eat very little. Because otherwise you're going to fast at Maghrib, you're going to have the 3 plates of biryani, your stomach will be full, and you used to do these sins at night anyway, so at night you're just going to fall into that same sin again. So you have to seriously limit what you eat at the night time. There have been some people, some salikin, some students of our mashayikh, who used to try to rid themselves of their sin, they used to fast just with water. Others, they used to make iftar with 1 glass of water, and that's it. They wouldn't eat anything, and in the morning they would take their sahur with another glass of water, and they would do that for 3 days. And that would be what suppressed their desire. So if your health permits, do whatever you can, but don't go all out in your food when you eat at night, because then that's going to negate this, in this sense, the purpose of your fasting. You'll still get the sawab for making the nafl fast. But remember, now we're prescribing the fast for the ability to control your appetite. So if you give in to your appetite, if you give in to your gluttony after the fast breaks, then this fast won't help you to control your desire. The third thing, Mashayikh, right, is that you can put a monetary penalty on yourself. A monetary penalty that you feel, not like a dollar, right? Because that fat will be very happy to buy a bad gaze for a dollar. So make it something like $20 or $40. Or $100. The other thing is, and now this is getting to stuff that I learned directly from my Shaykh. And if you just listen to what I'm about to say, you're going to see how much a person learns from a Shaykh. So the first thing our Shaykh taught us is that you should stay away from all the opportunities where your gaze may be misdirected. You should stay away from mixed gatherings, from weddings, from parties like that. From the places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being disobeyed. Now yes, if you really have to go with some close family member, and by close I mean literally just really your blood sibling, you should try your best to tell them that they should try to keep their wedding according to the Sharia. If they don't, then you should clock in and clock out. You should go and just make an appearance for a short period of time and then leave, especially try to leave before the extra activities like the dancing and the music and the things like that happen. Go there very briefly, just for the sake of pleasing your parents, and keep your gaze lower through that time, and then leave that gathering. And be the last to get there and the first to leave, put it that way. But otherwise, in general, that's the only exception given for your own blood siblings. Cousins, no. You cannot go to a first cousin's wedding if you know there are going to be 50 women there who are trying to make themselves look more beautiful than on that night than they ever have. You won't be able to resist that test. You will not be able to pass that test. What if a student goes and takes an exam that he knows he's going to fail? Like, why would I go take the MCAT tomorrow? It's a waste of my time. I know I'm going to fail. Nobody sits for that exam that he knows he's going to fail. So don't go to the opportunities of sin. Number 2, that when you're walking in the streets, you should look down at all times. Make this your practice in the street. That when you're walking in the street, you should look down. When you go to a store, when you're a checkout counter, go to that counter where there's not a woman, if there's a man. Or if there are women, then go to that counter where the woman doesn't look that attractive to you. On the airline check-in, go to that counter where there's a man. Wherever you have the ability, that way at night you can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I did whatever was in my ability, now Allah, you do whatever is in your ability. So do whatever is in your ability to safeguard yourself, then Allah ta'ala will save you from those abilities where you wouldn't have had the capacity to save yourself. Number three, that when you're driving in your car and you reach a red light, don't start looking around and scoping who's in the other car. Even though you might just do it out of habit, you're just looking, no, this is what it means, lowering your gaze. Keep looking at the road. Don't look around who's in the car next to you, because sooner or later you're going to hit a stoplight that in the car to the left of you, or to the left of you, or to the right of you, there will be an attractive woman sitting there, and your gaze will fall upon her. So this is what that ayah means, lowering your gaze. It's a way of life. It's not a reaction. It's not a reaction, it's a proactive way of life, keeping your gaze lowered. In all of these different instances that I'm giving, so when you're in a car in the stoplight, don't look around. Look at our Mashaykh. It seems something so simple, right? But this is what you learn. The Mashaykh teach simple things, but they teach very useful and valuable things. And you'd be amazed how many things, this one thing, maybe it'll save you from that gaze. The next thing is that when you travel in a plane or a bus or a train, take a book with you. If it's light reading, something to engage you, keep yourself occupied, because otherwise you will simply sit there and look around the plane, look at the stewardesses, look at all the female passengers. Occupy yourself. If it means taking a napping. Next thing is to, look down at your feet at all times. The next thing is to think, when you're looking down, what should your niyyah be? That your niyyah should be that I must veil myself from women. That if these women, either because they're not Muslim or because they haven't been able to practice Islam fully, they're unable to veil themselves from me, well then it is my job to veil myself from them, and therefore I should look down at all times. And our Shaykh mentioned this in Tawaf also when we went with him on Umrah. That when you do Tawaf, you should look down. And he actually told us a story in the hotel room in Mecca, that once somebody came to him in Makkah Mukarramah and asked the Shaykh to make dua and said, oh Shaykh, my Shaykh, make dua for me. I'm unable to control my gaze even here in Makkah Mukarramah. While I'm sitting in the haram, while I'm doing tawaf, I'm looking at all the faces of the women who are around in front of the Kaaba. Now don't think that that was some despicable person. He was just like you and me. He was just honest and he was open enough to tell it to his teacher. And this is what it means. This is the intoxicating, the all-consuming, the addictive nature of the gaze, that if a person is able to control his gaze now, and just make that niyyah now, if you haven't been able to go for Umrah or Hajj, or you haven't been for some years, or you plan to go at some time, say, Ya Allah, let me work on controlling my gaze here, so when that moment comes, and I told you before a few days ago, that just like dua are more accepted in Makkah Mukarramah, your ibadat are more accepted in Makkah Mukarramah, if you sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the presence, in the visual range, if you commit a sin of the eye when you could see the Kaaba, or you were even seeing the Kaaba out of your peripheral vision, imagine what an incredible sin that would be in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So train your gaze now so that you don't commit that sin over there when you get there. Then the Shaykh also said that don't go to parks or other such public things when they're crowded. When you have to go to the park to take your kid, try to pick a time when you know there'll be less people there, so there'll be less chance of you of misdirecting your gaze. When you're in waiting in the lounge of the medical doctor's office, or you're sitting in the airport, and there's a TV with all these pictures and ads of beautiful women trying to sell you every marketable product on earth, don't sit facing the TV, but deliberately take a seat in that airport lounge, in that doctor's office waiting room that has your back towards that TV. This is the people who remember Allah SWT at all times. They're telling you how to remember Allah at the traffic light. They're telling you how to remember Allah at the doctor's office. They're telling you how to remember Allah at the transit lounge. They're telling you how to remember Allah on the plane. And then when you're driving, don't look at the billboards around you. And this is a fitna that's spread all over our Muslim world now, even in the city of Lahore. It's full of billboards, full of all types of, you know, attractive women who are trying to sell you cell phones and trying to make you drink Pepsi. So don't look at the billboards when you're driving. Or if you're sitting as a passenger in the car. Lower your gaze. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. It is a way of life. Unless you make it your way of life, you will never lower your gaze. If you make it your way of life, you will automatically end up lowering your gaze. In those instances, it would have been dangerous for you to keep them raised. The second thing, so these were all small things. The second major thing, for those of you who are married, is that you should keep your wife happy. Because that men and women who have a lot of muhabbat for one another, who have a lot of love for one another, it will be very difficult then for that man to feel an unlawful desire. It will be difficult for that woman to feel an unlawful desire. The woman should smile at her husband with love. She should receive her husband with love when he comes home. The husband should give affection to his wife. He should ask his wife to dress up for him. Because actually, the women should... It's only natural for a woman to want to look pretty. Now Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, do not show your zina out there. But they have this natural desire, so they should want to look pretty in front of their husband. So the women themselves should try to make themselves look attractive in front of their husband. Look at the opposite, what it is in our communities, that the women walk around in home in their house clothes, but only their men can see them. And when it's time to go out to the wedding, where all the non-mahram will be there, they're wearing gharara, and they're wearing jewelry, and they're wearing makeup. It's the exact opposite of what it's supposed to be. A woman at home should adorn herself beautifully, and the man should praise his wife. He should say that you look beautiful today. He should give her from time to time a gift of jewelry. Don't try to be too much of a Sufi, right? And think that, oh, you know, I'm above these things and I don't need these things. These are part of your natural fitra. You think you're above these things, I shake you to say openly. Anybody who thinks he's above these things, he's lying. You should say it to his students. That you are just lying. You cannot fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might not even know yourself. You may have fooled yourself, but you are just lying and deceiving yourself. If you do not do something the halal way, Allah ta'ala will see to it that you do it the haram way. You will smile at the Radio Shack girl if you fail to smile at your wife at home. So smile at your wife. Give kindness, affection, and love to your wife. The wife should try to look pretty for her husband. The husband should appreciate that from his wife. They should give more and more love to one another. There is romance in Islam, but the romance takes place in the confines of your home. So you should be romantic with one another. You should be endearing to one another. You should be affectionate to one another. Otherwise, without doing that, again, you will not get that sukoon, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. And so you will look for that sukoon elsewhere, whether you do it knowingly or you do it unknowingly, you will try to find that sukoon elsewhere. The third thing is that you should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think about how distant you must become from Him in every single gaze. And you should make dua at tahajjud time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save you from this sin. The next thing the Mashayikh write, our Shaykh taught us, is that you should imagine what the punishment of the eyes will be. It's not 100% clear what it will be in hadith. You can imagine it in different ways. Imagine that your eyes are being stapled shut on the day of judgment. Imagine one Shaykh writes, and imagine that thread of iron and steel is being used to stitch your eyes shut for the sins that they used to do. Imagine that your eyes are getting pounded in over and over for years and years and eons. Imagine some type of punishment of the eyes that may take place in the hellfire, and then maybe that will prompt you to lower your gaze. Then, our Shaykh says a very strange thing in one of his books. And he says that those people who have such a deeply ingrained habit of misdirecting their gaze, and all of the above doesn't work for them. All of the above has failed, although I don't think anybody would have tried all of the above, but if all of the above fails to work, then they should reflect on one usul, one principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a person first does sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Haleem. And we mentioned this before, that Al-Haleem is that attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that He has qudrat, He has the ability to punish His servant for sinning, but He holds back. He has forbearance, He has hilm, that despite His ability to punish that person, He grants them a stay, He grants them a respite. Otherwise, it befits the majesty of Allah. It would be a tough. That the very first time we misdirected our gaze, Allah should have made us blind. The very first time we misused our tongue, Allah should have made us mute. The very first time we use our hands in sin, Allah should have made us paralyzed. The very first time we fought a sin, Allah should have made us dumb. it would have been the haq, it would have 100% befitted the majesty, the azmat, the jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala is also al-Haleem, that in the beginning when a servant sins, he holds back, he has forbearance, he doesn't punish him immediately. He waits. Let him make tawbah. Then stage number two comes. That some time passes and that person still doesn't make tawbah, then the mashayikh writes and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with that person with his satar, he is as-satar with that person. In other words, then he starts covering up his sins for him. Allahu Akbar. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Sattar, Ya Kareem. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers up his sins for that person. That not only did I give you time, my servant, to repent from your sin, you still continue, you were doing it so widespread, let me cover it up for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals that sin, he does not expose that person before his wife or his mother or his daughter. But then the mashayikh writes and then a third stage comes. And that third stage is that even then, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals that person's sins, that person still doesn't repent, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then decrees his punishment in the akhir for that person and seals that case. So we should think that, Ya Allah, surely we are in that second stage. We are in that stage where you are being with us as satar, you are concealed and covered our sins in front of humanity. If anybody was to see our sins, or even if anyone of you to know my sins, we wouldn't even wish to look in one another's direction, we wouldn't even think it would be worthy to spit on that person's face. Allah Ta'ala has concealed our sins so much, and we should think, Ya Allah, we are in the second stage. Before we get to that third stage, we should repent of our sins. Because Allah said in Quran al-Kareem, وَمَنْ يَحِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ. And that person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes zaleel, who he makes base, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ. There is nobody, no power on earth who can do his ikram, no power on earth who can restore his honor, respect, and dignity. So the third stage after covering our sins, if we continue, and sooner or later Allah will make us zaleel, expose us, abase us, in this world or in the next. And then we should address our nafs. That all our nafs, people take your name with so much respect, but look what type of actions that you do. People think you are the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you do the works that indicate that you are the friend of shaitan. And apparently you follow the sunnah, but inside your heart is filled with the shahwa, with the carnal, the lustful desires. You hide what you do from the makhluk. Your sins are hidden from creation, but your sins are plain and exposed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You view yourself as a talib of Jannah that you seek and yearn for admission to Jannah, but with your own hands you are earning admission into the hellfire. And you should address yourself in this way and think that the doors of Tawbah are always open. And maybe like tonight, which might be the last night of this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might open up the doors of Tawbah to us. Allah Ta'ala might accept us. Surely if a person has a desire for this to end, and this is another misconception, don't think that these desires will ever end inside you. And think that, well, what can I do because I still have these desires, I still have to look. These desires never end no matter what state you reach. This is human nature. Allah Ta'ala has put these desires in us. It's not about killing these desires. It's about making your haya. It's about adorning your iman with this beautiful characteristic called haya, making your haya triumphant over your hawa. It's about making your modesty and your dignity more powerful than your desire. Don't think your desires will ever end. Your whole life will live in this constant struggle between this desire and controlling the desire. So it's not about eliminating the desire. It's about triumphing over desire. It's about controlling the desire. So when you understand it like that, then you will try, inshallah, to be continued. A few more things, so I can transfer my amanat to you. It's also what I've learned from my elders is just an amanat that I carry with me, and I can also be called to test on the Day of Judgment if I fail to share everything with you. The next thing the mashayikh say is a person should take help from salah. Also in Quran, وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. What does that mean? That first seek help with sabr. First try to have patience and control your gaze, but if you're unable to do that, then seek help with salah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, one of the few hadith he narrated, he said the Prophet said that if you wish to make repentance from any type of sin, you should pray two raka'at nafil and then make dua that Allah Ta'ala forgive you for your sin. This later just became known as Salatul Tawbah. It's actually just praying two raka'at nafil and making dua afterwards of istighfar and tawbah. What about the fasting? Is that you should try to fast the 13th, especially for those who are not married. And Prophet said in the hadith actually that those who are not married, they should fast. So they should fast the 13th, 14th, and 15th of every lunar month. And then on that, they can add every Mondays and Thursdays. And if that is not enough, then they can try fasting every other day. But remember what I told you, the way that you have to fast is very important, that you must not give in to your appetite in the night. Another thing the Mashayikh said, you should stay in a state of wudu at all times, because it comes in the hadith, al-wudu'u salahu mu'min, that wudu is the weapon of the believer. The next thing the Mashayikh says is that you should make dua repeatedly. In fact, on that hadith that I mentioned, Sheikh Bayezid Bustami, rahimahullah, who's one of the Mashayikh of our chain, it's narrated about him that he once said that at one point I felt some desire. Now, probably for him, it was probably just a trifling. But he says that I felt some desire. Immediately, I prayed two nafil to Allah, two raka'ah of nafil salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I turned to him in dua. Allah Ta'ala accepted my dua, and from that day on, there was no difference for me between a woman and a wall. So Allah Ta'ala, He can give this to you if you ask Him for it. Another thing, some more practical things have come up. Number one is do not stay free. This is very important. Do not, especially for the young men, do not let yourself have any free time. Busy yourself, fill up your time, fill each and every moment of your time. Just think, for example, whatever sin that you do, were you able to do it during exams week? Were you able to do it during finals week? No, because in finals week you were so busy, there was no time to do that sin. Or you're so preoccupied, you were so motivated elsewhere, that there was no ability to do that sin. If you want to save yourself from sin, you must occupy your time, fill it up with 10 things. If you think there's no room, fill it up with a third thing. Fill up your time, busy up your time, do not leave yourself free to commit that sin. The next thing the Mashayikh, and then spend your time in reading, spend your time studying Quran, acquiring knowledge, memorizing Quran, keeping time with elders. If you can't do that, then volunteer somewhere. Go and just sign up at one of the soup kitchens and say, I'm going to give you 3 hours a day. Because you know that you spend 3 hours a day wasting time anyway. Do something. Do not let your time remain unoccupied. Busy yourself. Occupy yourself every moment of the day. Number two. Again, for the young man, don't stay alone. Don't let yourself be alone. Study in public. Study in the library. Do not let yourself be alone at all costs. Do not let yourself be alone, cause. And I think the rest of these, inshallah, we will discuss in our own little session later on, inshallah. So, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, then in that hadith, said that when you pray those two rak'ahs and make this dua, you should reflect on this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Another ayah. That day we mentioned some ayahs of rahmah, they're unending. Well, there's so many of them. Here's another one. وَمَا يَعْمَلْسُ عَنْ أَوْ يَظْلَمُ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ يَجِدَ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. That person who commits some error or does zulm oppresses himself, so commit some sin. ثُمَّ, and then, after that, يَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. What will happen? يَجِدَ اللَّهَ, he will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا, forgiving and merciful. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, read this ayah. Read this ayah and reflect this ayah and then make dua. So pray two rak'ahs, read this ayah, reflect on the meaning of this ayah, make yourself a sign of this ayah, live your life according to this ayah, that those people who sin, who oppress themselves, if they then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in istighfar, seek His forgiveness, they will find that their Lord is nothing other than the Ghafoor al-Rahim, is nothing other than the forgiving and the merciful one. The biggest thing that this gaze costs us is that we lose our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true price that we pay is we pay with the price of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our hearts become empty of His love. How can you expect to love the ghairullah and still have the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart? How do we expect to pollute our heart with so many images and still have the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala engraved in our heart? How can we expect to be people of وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, that those people, the believers, are those who are extreme in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when rather we are extreme in our worldly passions and our worldly desires. So the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been taken out from our hearts. Whether we're a man or a woman, a girl or a boy, an old man or an old woman, the more and more false loves that we have, the less love we will have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who used to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah al-azim, they loved Him to the exclusion of everything else. The love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the be-all and end-all of their life. There was nothing else that mattered to them in life except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malik bin Dinar, rahimahullah, one of our famous Tabi'i Tabi'in, my famous Mashayikh, he narrates a story that once it was in the depth of the heat of the summer, an extremely hot day in the middle of the day when nobody in their right mind would leave their house. And he left his dwelling, he left his shelter because he had to go on some necessary tasks. And when he went, he saw some young men. Look at the condition, oh my friends, look at the condition of the young men who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he found a young man who was crippled. A young man who was rather, I should say, paralyzed from waist down. And that young man was dragging himself along. So he went up to that young man and said, oh young man, where is it that you're going? Why is it that you're dragging yourself along in this, one of the hottest of summer days, in the highest of noons? And he looked at him, and he said, oh, Malik bin Dinar, I have to go, I'm in a rush. He said, well, where is it that you're going? And he said that I'm dragging myself to Makkah Mukarramah because I'm trying to get there in time to make Hajj. So because you are not crippled like me or not paralyzed like me, you can go in your own sweet time, but because I have to drag myself there, I'm so worried that I might not get there in time for this Hajj season. And if I get there late, I'll have to wait an entire other year. And Allah knows if I'll remain alive to see another Hajj. So Malik bin Dinar said that, oh my young man, why don't you come to my house and take some rest? I myself will arrange for a horse or some type of mount, some type of steed, some type of transportation for you. And then you can go on that horse in a relaxed manner. You don't have to drag yourself in such a way. And Malik bin Dinar narrated, so that young man looked at him and said, Malik bin Dinar, Until this day, I thought you were the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What type of thing are you saying? When a sinning slave, when a runaway slave is trying to go back to his master to make up, does that runaway slave come riding on a horse to his master? Or does that runaway slave come dragging himself in humility? Until this day, I thought you were the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could you think that I could go to my Lord on Hajj riding on a horse? So he left and said that, and he kept dragging himself along. Malik bin Dinar, rahimahullah, later says that it so happened that that year he went for Hajj himself. And after he had finished Hajj and finished the final tawaf and all of the different arkan, the different pillars of Hajj were finished, he saw in the mutaf around the Khana Kaaba that there was a group of people gathered. So like everybody else, he went to go see what that group of people was gathered about. And he heard the voice of a young man, and he realized that this was the voice of that same young man that I met. So he pushed himself through the crowd so he could see. When he pushed himself through the crowd, he saw that truly it is that same young man who is paralyzed from his waist down, who is dragging himself like that on the ground, and he was making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was making such a strange dua to Allah that people had gathered to witness his dua. The dua of an ashik. The dua of a muhib, the dua of a person min rijal Allah, a person of a true man, a true human being, a true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he went to see what dua he was making, that young man was crying out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua, that, oh Allah, I came to you and I made my hajj. Ya Allah, I made my tawaf. I made my rami. I made my sa'i. I stayed at Mina, I stayed at Muzdalifah, I had the day of Arafat. Ya Allah, all the things from Hajj have been done. But Ya Allah, now where everybody is offering an animal for sacrifice. Ya Allah, you know me, that I am your weak, your crippled, your paralyzed servant. That I have nothing to offer you, I have no money, no means of making that sacrifice. But Ya Allah, you are so kind, so merciful that you let me come for this Hajj. Ya Allah, it's the last wish of my life that I make this Hajj. Ya Allah, I may have no animal life to sacrifice, but if you're pleased with me, and you would be pleased to meet me in this state that I am in Hajj, Ya Allah, accept me as a sacrifice to you today. And by saying that, he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and he passed away right there in front of the eyes of Malik ibn Nawfal. This was the state of the people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala gives them the tawfiq to meet him. He gives them their liqa, he calls them up to him as a nafsul mutma'inna. He calls them up all serene and contented soul. Come back to your Lord. Come back to your abode. Come back to this beautiful garden that I've prepared for you. So my friends, this one great sin that we have so much difficulty leaving, the sin of controlling our gaze, the sin of controlling our desire, the sin of controlling our hands, the sin of safeguarding ourselves from these gatherings, the sin of safeguarding the temptation to save ourselves from the temptation of the internet, to save ourselves from the temptation of the television, to save our temptation from the women in our MSA, to save ourselves from the temptation of the women in our society. Ya Allah, what will be that thing that can give us the ability to save us? Illa man rahima rabbi. That there is no person who is saved except that Allah sends his rahmah upon him. This is the night of the 29th of Ramadan, the last night perhaps of this month of Ramadan. After we fasted so many days, we can turn to Allah Ta'ala tonight and ask him from the depth of our heart to forgive us for this grave sin that we commit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of us. Before we make dua, inshallah, we will sit for a few moments in muraqabah. Before we make dua, everybody should just reflect on their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in the Quran al-Kareem, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ, that you should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the depth of yourself. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا, and remember the name of your Lord and turn to him in seclusion and devotion. So everybody should close their eyes and simply remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart as he has commanded in Quran, that you should remember him to the exclusion of everything else. Know that beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whenever a person sins, a black spot, a stain comes upon his heart. Imagine all the sins that we did of this type or of any type. Imagine how stained our hearts might have become. And imagine that Allah said in Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ, remember me and I will remember you. Imagine then that we are remembering Allah from the depths of our hearts, crying out to him that, Ya Allah, send your mercy upon us. He said, أَذْكُرُكُمْ, that he will remember us. We beg of him to remember us by sending his mercy upon our hearts, to purify our hearts of their sins, to soften our hearts to his remembrance, his ibadah, and his obedience. Everybody should just close your eyes and silently remember Allah in your heart. Imagine the mercy of Allah is coming into your heart, and in gratitude, your heart is crying out his name, as if your heart is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah, and you are just listening to it. وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. الله سبحانه وتعالى says in Quran al-Kareem, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the beautiful names, you should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them. So it was a practice of some of our mashayikhs, when they wanted their dua to be accepted, to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all of the 99 names. So inshallah tonight, being the last night of Ramadan, being it Friday night, we have tomorrow off, we will make this dua. We will begin our dua by calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using all of his 99 names. And the way we will do this is we will make dua together, and I will recite the name, for example, Ar-Rahman, and then we will all call to Allah, Ya Allah. Fad'uhu, it means to make dua, or to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, I will say Ar-Rahmanu, Ya Allah, and then all of you should say, Ya Allah. And I will say, Ar-Rahimu, Ya Allah, all of you should say, Ya Allah. Like that, we will go through the 99 names, inshallah. We will all have called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because all of us may not have memorized the name. But when I say that name and say, you say, Ya Allah, it means you're calling upon him on that name that I mentioned. So every time I say a name, say Ya Allah. Once they go through the 99 names, then we will make dua the way we normally do. سبحانه بيوانها بنام صلي على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد ونبارك وسلم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الرحمن يا الله الرحمن يا الله الرحمن يا الله الرحيم يا الله الملك يا الله القدوس يا الله السلام يا الله المؤمن يا الله المهيمن يا الله العزيز يا الله الجبار يا الله المتكبر يا الله الخالق يا الله الباري يا الله المصور يا الله الغفار يا الله الغفار يا الله الغفار يا الله القهار يا الله الوهاب يا الله الرزاق يا الله الفتاح يا الله العليم يا الله القابض يا الله الباسط يا الله الحافظ يا الله الرفيع يا الله المعز يا الله المذل يا الله المذل يا الله المذل يا الله السميع يا الله البصير يا الله الحكم يا الله العدل يا الله اللطيف يا الله الخبير يا الله الحليم يا الله الحليم يا الله الحليم يا الله العظيم يا الله الغفور يا الله الشكور يا الله العلي يا الله السميع يا الله الحفيظ يا الله المقيت يا الله الحسيب يا الله الجليل يا الله الكريم يا الله الكريم يا الله السقيم يا الله المجيب يا الله الوسيع الواسع يا الله الحكيم يا الله الودود يا الله المجيد يا الله الباعث يا الله الشهيد يا الله الحق يا الله الوكيل يا الله القوي لا الله المتين يا الله الولي يا الله الحميد يا الله المحصي يا الله المبدئ يا الله المعيد يا الله المحيي يا الله المميت يا الله الحي يا الله القيوم يا الله الواجد يا الله المجيد يا الله الواحد يا الله الأحد يا الله الصمد يا الله القادر يا الله المقتدر يا الله المؤنم يا الله المؤخر يا الله الأول يا الله الآخر يا الله الظاهر يا الله الباطن يا الله الوالئ يا الله المتعالي يا الله البر يا الله التواب يا الله التواب يا الله التواب يا الله المنتقم يا الله العفو يا الله العفو يا الله العفو يا الله الرؤوف يا الله مالك الملك يا الله ذو الجلال والإكرام يا الله المقسط يا الله الجامع يا الله الغني يا الله المغني يا الله المانع يا الله الضر يا الله النافع يا الله النور يا الله الهادي يا الله البديع يا الله الباقي يا الله الوارث يا الله الرشيد يا الله الصبور يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا أرحم الراحمين ارحمنا يا التواب الرحيم يا أرحم الراحمين يا most merciful of merciful ones يا الله to you are all of the beautiful names those that we recited and infinitely more يا الله إن الله جميل verily Allah you are beautiful يا الله let us also love that which is beautiful Ya Allah, let us find pleasure in your beauty. Ya Allah, take us away from the beauty of this world. Take us away from the zenith of the hayat al-dunya. Ya Allah, and grant us the love of the zenith of the akhirah. Ya Allah, we also want to be people on that day who get to see you, who have your ru'ya. Ya Allah, we also want to be to gaze upon you in your resplendent glory. To gaze upon you unveiled. Ya Allah, forgive us for our sins this day. Ya Allah, forgive everyone today. Forgive us for all the sins that we ever did. Forgive us for the sins that we did in the past. Forgive us for the sins that we do in the present. Forgive us for the sins that we did knowingly. Forgive us for the sins that we did unknowingly. Ya Allah, forgive us for the sins that we remember. Forgive us for the sins that we've forgotten. Ya Allah, forgive us for the sins that we did with others. Forgive us for the sins that we did when we were alone. Ya Allah, forgive us for the sins that we did when we were alone. Ya Allah, forgive us for all the lying that we did to cover our sins. Forgive us for all the concealing that we did to cover our sins. Ya Allah, forgive us for hypocrisy on our faces when we came to your masjid after committing sin. Ya Allah, forgive us for the hypocrisy in us that we came to finish the gospel during sin. Ya Allah, forgive us for the hypocrisy in us that we dare to come before the people after committing sin. Ya Sattar, Ya Allah, you hid and veiled all of our sins. Ya Allah, keep us veiled. Keep the sins, keep our sins veiled forever, both in this world and in the next. Ya Allah, forgive us for all the sins that we did. Ya Allah, this eye that has seen the Kaaba. Ya Allah, have mercy upon this eye. Ya Allah, this eye that has looked upon the Quran. Have mercy upon this eye. Ya Allah, this eye that has seen your masjid. Have mercy upon this eye. Ya Allah, keep our eye from seeing that which we shouldn't see. Ya Allah, help us to lower our gaze. Help us to control our desires. Help us to be people of haya. Ya Allah, we live like animals. Ya Allah, there's no shame, no modesty left in us. Ya Allah, we have become empty of haya. Your beloved messenger, Sultan, said al-haya'u min al-iman. Ya Allah, where is our iman today? Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, restore our iman to us. Ya Allah, make us people of haya. We do want to be people of modesty, of dignity, of honor. Ya Allah, grant us our haya. Ya Allah, forgive us for our sins. Ya Allah, forgive our sisters for their sins. Forgive us for looking at them and forgive them for exposing themselves to us. Ya Allah, forgive us all for our sins. Give us the ability to lower our gazes, to adorn ourselves with the Sunnah and Sharia. Ya Allah, the true zenith is the zenith of the Sharia. Ya Allah, sacrifice the beauty of this world to the beauty of your deen. Ya Allah, let the deen be more beloved to us than anything in the world. Ya Allah, let us always be aware that you are looking at us. Let us always be aware that you are watching us. Let us always be aware that we are with us. Ya Allah, you yourself in Quran, huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum, that you are with us wherever we may be. Ya Allah, let us feel you every moment in our lives. Let us feel your closeness and your qurb once again. Let us feel your proximity once again. Ya Allah, we too want to be amongst those people who on the Day of Judgment, when they see you, that they will smile upon you and you will smile upon them. We too also want to be amongst the radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. We too want to be amongst the yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu. Ya Allah, include us amongst the ranks of these people. Ya Allah, forgive us for the temptations of our desire. Ya Allah, we make dua to you tonight. Ya Allah, what else does a person have except dua? Ya Allah, yourself said in Quran, we are da'if. Ya Allah, you yourself said that you created humanity weak. Ya Allah, we are the weakest of your weak servants. Ya Allah, we are the most needy of your needy servants. Ya Allah, we are the most sinning of your sinning servants. Ya Allah, we beg of you to shower your rahmah upon us in the barakah of this month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, let us not be bereft, let us not be mahroom, let us not be devoid of this rahmah. Ya Allah, let us not fail to get our sins forgiven in this month. Let us not be amongst those people who Prophet ﷺ made dua that they would be far from him on the Day of Judgment, that they would be far from you, that ba'uda, far indeed may they be if they fail to get forgiven this month. Ya Allah, only you can forgive us this month. Only you can take us out from that dua. Only you can take us out from the hellfire. Ya Allah, do not punish us in the hellfire. Ya Allah, we cannot even stand the heat of the sun. Ya Allah, how will we stand the heat of the hellfire? Ya Allah, we cannot stand a moment in the sun. Ya Allah, how will we stand a moment in the hellfire? Ya Allah, Allahumma ajirna min al-nar. Allahumma ajirna min al-nar. Ya Mujir ajirna. Ya Mujir ajirna. Ya Mujir ajirna. Ya Allah, who can save us, save us. Ya Mu'tiq a'tiqna. Ya Mu'tiq a'tiqna min al-nar. Oh, he who can emancipate us from the hellfire. Ya Allah, deliver us from the hellfire. Ya Allah, let us be people who control our gaze from now on. Let us be people who lower our gaze. Ya Allah, everything that was said and heard in this itikaf, and anything about the deen that we have ever said or heard in our lives, Ya Allah, give both the one who said it and the ones who heard it the tawfiq to do amal. Ya Allah, make us people who practice our knowledge. Make us people of practice. Ya Allah, how long will we just be people of empty words? How long will we just emptily make dua to you? Ya Allah, when will that day come that we also become people of amal? Ya Allah, when will that day come that we also become people of taqwa? When will that day come that we also become people of khawf and khashiyya? Ya Allah, give us a heart that is afraid of you. Grant us the qalban khashi'an. Grant us the lisanan zakiran. Ya Allah, grant us a heart that fears you, a heart that remembers you, a tongue that remembers you, a tongue that praises you. Ya Allah, help us to remember you at all times. Let us stay in a wudu in all times. Let us make our sunnah du'as in all times. Ya Allah, forgive us for all the salah that we ever missed. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to make up our salah. Ya Allah, let us never miss any salah again. Ya Allah, we never want to miss any salah again. Ya Allah, let us pray every one of our salah on time. Let us pray every one of our fajr on time. Ya Allah, you have the power to rise us up in the morning. You have the power to rise us up in the last moments of the night. Ya Allah, we also want to be people who pray tahajjud. We want to be also amongst the mustaghfirin bil ashar. We also want to seek your forgiveness at the pre-dawn. Ya Allah, include our names amongst those ranks this night. Ya Allah, forgive us for all of our sins. Ya Allah, accept the fasting that we did this month. Accept our tarawih salah. Accept our tilawat kitab. Accept our dhikr in dua. Ya Allah, all the du'as that we ever made to you, Allah, accept them for us. All the du'as that we made this month, these last 10 days, this night, Ya Allah, accept them in our haq. Ya Allah, all the du'as that the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba Kiram, all of the tabi'in, tabi'in, tabi'in, aimu, mujtahideen, mufassireen, muhaddiseen, fuqaha, mashayikh, all the pious du'as that they ever made. Ya Allah, accept those du'as in our haq as well. Ya Allah, and all the things they sought refuge from. Ya Allah, keep us far from those things as well. Ya Allah, save us from the fitna of these times. Ya Allah, save us from the fitna of these times. Ya Allah, this is the time that Rasulullah he himself sought refuge from. Ya Allah, and us, we're such weak, weak people. How will we attempt to pass the fitna of these times? Ya Allah, save us from the fitna of these times. Ya Allah, save our parents from the fitna. Save our children from the fitna. Ya Allah, save our families from the fitna. Ya Allah, those of us who have children, Ya Allah, make them the coolness of our eyes. Ya Allah, we sacrifice those children to you. We bless to invite our children to follow the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia in each and every way. Ya Allah, accept our children for your path. Ya Allah, make amongst them hufaz. Make amongst them ulama. Make amongst them awliya. Make them amongst them mustaqeen and sabireen. Ya Allah, and preserve the iman of our children in the society. And preserve the iman of all of our descending generations until the Yawm al-Din. Ya Allah, those of us who wish to have children, Ya Allah, give us this ni'mah. Ya Allah, shower this blessing and bounty upon us so that we too may raise somebody who may be better than us. We may raise somebody who doesn't make the mistakes that we did. Ya Allah, we can raise somebody who gets the knowledge that we failed to have. Ya Allah, give us that second chance at life. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq and give us the barakah. Through your karam, through your rahmah, Ya Allah, Ta'ala, shower this blessings and bounty upon us. Ya Allah, forgive all of us for all the sins that we did with our minds, for the sins that we did with our heart, for the sins that we did with our hands, for the sins that we did with our tongue. Forgive us for the sins that we did with our ear. Forgive us for the music that we listened to. Forgive us for the TV and the movies that we used to watch. Ya Allah, forgive us for all the scenes that we used to watch. Ya Allah, erase the memory of those scenes from our mind. Ya Allah, erase the images of those scenes from our mind. Ya Allah, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, you're so merciful. Ya Allah, we would look at those things. You would still let us come to the masjid. Ya Allah, we would do those things. You would still let us come to the masjid. Ya Allah, we would take our clothes off and sin. Ya Allah, you would put those clothes right back on us. Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Take us out from the zulumat to the nur. Take us out from the darkness of our sin into the nur of iman. Take us out from the darkness of our sin into the nur of taqwa. Ya Allah, have mercy upon us today. Ya Allah, you do not send your mercy upon us. There's no other place for us to go. Ya Allah, you have billions of creation who can worship you. Ya Allah, but we have only one Rabb who can answer our dua. You have billions of people who have worshipped you better than us. Ya Allah, but we have only one Rabb to turn to. Ya Allah, you turn us away from your door. There's no other door for us to go to. Ya Allah, even the kind people on this earth, Ya Allah, they always give somebody who comes to the door. Ya Allah, you are Arhamar Rahimin. You are the Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, Rabbi Karam, let not our hands come down until you have accepted our dua, until you have forgiven each and every one of us for every one of our sins. Ya Allah, today is a man with white hair making dua for you. Ya Allah, Prophet said that you take shame, you have haya in taking the life, the soul of a person whose hair is gone white in the deen. Ya Allah, forgive them for any of the sins they may have done. Ya Allah, and on the whiteness of their hair, Ya Allah, Ta'ala, forgive all of us for all the sins that we do. Ya Allah, today there may be anyone, young men among us, who may be truly repenting for his sins. Ya Allah, in the barakah of his repentance, Allah, accept all of our tawbah. Ya Allah, save us from this sin. How many Ramadans will go when we fail to save ourselves from this sin? How many salah will we pray? How much Quran will we read? How many talks will we hear? How many mashayikh will we meet? Ya Allah, still this sin doesn't leave us. Ya Allah, we are so deeply sick. Ya Allah, only your mercy can penetrate these hearts. Only the nur of your mercy can penetrate our hearts. Ya Allah, penetrate your light to the depths of our hearts and drive away all the darkness that is in our hearts. Ya Allah, forgive us for any other sins that we have made. Forgive us for the interest that we consume. Forgive us for the lies that we say. Forgive us for the bitterness in our heart. Forgive us for the envy that we have for one another. Forgive us for all the sins that we have ever done. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to lead a sin-free life. Ya Allah, any one of us who may be sick, grant us health. For those of us who are sick spiritually, grant us health. Ya Allah, grant us health. Ya Allah, we also want to be amongst the healthy ones. Ya Allah, grant us the shade of your throne on the day of judgment. On that day, where there will be no other shade except your throne. Ya Allah, your beloved messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said that when two people meet one another for the sake of Allah, and when they part one with another for the sake of Allah, that you will grant them the shade of your throne. Ya Allah, we met one another in this itikaf for your sake. we part with one another in your name. Ya Allah, do barakah, do qadr of this nisbat that we have with one another. Do qadr of the love that we have with one another. Ya Allah, and grant us your shade underneath your throne in the Day of Judgment. Ya Allah, shower your special rahman sakina upon this gathering. Ya Allah, make it a means of a strong closer to you. Ya Allah, your beloved messengers of some said, that you said, in Atani Yamshi, that if my servant comes to me walking, fa'ataytuhu harwala, that I come to him running. Ya Allah, all of us became at least walking here. Some of us came driving here. Ya Allah, come to us running. Come to us flying. Shower your rahman, your mercy upon us. Draw us close to you in ways that we have been unable to draw ourselves to. Ya Allah, shower us with mercy in ways that we don't even know how to make to offer. Ya Allah, we look to you, and we have hope that you will be with us as befits your shan, as befits your majesty. Ya Allah, send your mercy upon us for all of our sins. Ya Allah, those of us who may be needy, grant them the rizki halal tayyib, the purest, noblest forms of wealth. Ya Allah, we pray for our parents. Oh, Ya Allah, send your mercy upon them. Those of them who are not guided, grant them the hidayah. Ya Allah, those of them who are astray, grant them the hidayah. Grant them the tawfiq to pass away on iman. Give them the tawfiq and the gift of Islam. Ya Allah, those of them who are guided, grant them istiqamah. Grant them perseverance on the straight path. Ya Allah, we pray for this masjid, for all the masajid in the world. Ya Allah, we pray, we join ourselves with all the people who pray to you in these nights. Ya Allah, we join ourselves with that community, because you yourself said, Allah tubu ilallahi jami'a, that we should make a tawbah to you as a jama'at. Ya Allah, we join ourselves as part of that jama'at, and we ask of you to forgive all of the sins of all of our brothers and sisters, all of the ummah. Ya Allah, and send your special rahmah, send your special mercy on those members of our ummah who are being oppressed. Ya Allah, will we spend our time sitting on the computer? Ya Allah, our Muslim brothers and sisters are being attacked, are being killed, are being tortured, are being raped. Ya Allah, we have no haya, we have no shame, these things go on, and we have no feeling in our hearts. We don't even make dua for them. We continue in our life of sin. Ya Allah, open up our eyes, open up our hearts to our reality. Let us have some insaf. Let us have some love for our fellow members of our ummah. Ya Allah, we pray for all of our fellow brothers and sisters in all the different parts of the world where they are being oppressed, where war is being waged against them. Ya Allah, strengthen them against the enemies. Ya Allah, weaken the forces of the enemies who persecute the Muslims. Ya Allah, send disarray into their ranks. Ya Allah, destroy their weapons. Ya Allah, give them hidayah if it is for them. And if hidayah is not for them, Allah, then remove them from the face of this earth. Ya Allah, shower your mercy upon the mu'mineen and the mu'minat, wherever they may be, in the Muslimin and the Muslimat. Ya Allah, make us common in our iman. Make us also people of taqwa, people of iman, people of sabr, people of tawbah. Ya Allah, accept our dua on this night, on this last night of mercy. Ya Allah, how many of us know we will live to see another month of Ramadan? Ya Allah, let this month of Ramadan be a final cure for us. Ya, let us not go back into our ways of sin in the day of Eid. Let us not go back into our old ways once we leave this masjid. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, put barakah in our time and put barakah in our lives. Ya Allah, save us from being embarrassed on the Day of Judgment. Save us from being embarrassed in front of the Sahaba Kiram on the Day of Judgment. Ya Allah, save us from being embarrassed in front of the Sahaba on the Day of Judgment. Ya Allah, no son wishes to be exposed in front of his fathers. No son wishes to be shamed in front of his forefathers. Ya Allah, if you must take our hisab, if you must punish us, if you must send us to hellfire, then don't do so in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, don't take our hisab in front of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. Don't show them what we used to do with the deen that they left behind. Don't show them what we used to do with the du'as they made for us. Ya Allah! Ya Allah! No son wishes to be made naked in front of his mother. Ya Allah, do not show our sins to the Mahatul Mu'mineen. Do not let Sayyidina Khadija and Sayyidina Aisha see what we used to do. Do not show our sins in front of the Mahatul Mu'mineen. No son wishes to be exposed in front of his mother, Ya Allah. No son wishes to be exposed in front of our mother. Now tonight we must punish the women for the sins that they did.
kadına konuşalım canım senin adı diyeceğim ben Ayşe. Ya Allah hayır. Ya Sıdağ'ın yüzü dağınız oğul. Ya Allah bir Sıdağ'ın eteği cedmin. Ya Allah hayır olsun from the five believers. Hayır olsun from İmam Bukhari and İmam Muslim. Hayır olsun from İmam Nebu and İmam Şafi. Ya Allah hayır olsun from all our Mashaykh. Ya Allah let us not be a vice in the name of our Mashaykh. Let us not soil the spirit by chain. Ya Allah, let us not our sins be a means for making anybody here mahroom. Ya Allah, put your own barakah in these words. Put your own tafsir in these words. Ya Allah, include us in this barakah. Rabbana takammal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi sayyidina Muhammad. Ya Allah, on any pious and jaiz du'as any one of us may have, please accept them from us. Anyone who may have rights over us that we should have made du'a for them, Ya Allah, Allah, accept our du'a and their rights. Accept their du'a for our teachers, for our colleagues, for our students, for our friends. Ya Allah, fulfill all of their desires and make them as well, make them and us all as well amongst your beloved servants. Ya Allah, we want nothing more than your pleasure. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridaka. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuk. Ya Allah, we want nothing more than your pleasure in life. We want nothing more than to be beloved by you, to be beloved in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to be beloved in the eyes of those who are your beloved. Ya Allah, we pray for this masjid and for this whole ummah. Ya Allah, we pray for all the people doing any type of work of the deen. We pray for all of the efforts of the deen going on over the world. Ya Allah, strengthen this deen. Strengthen the people who work for the deen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.